101.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Mary Linus informs us in her email to joe@rt.ie that she's originally from Tipperary but is living in Newry. And the gist of your email is based on these massive bonfires that are being prepared in Newry. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
So tell us about what you saw and what upsets you.
Well, what upsets me is the bonfire that's currently in Newry, mm-hmm. ready to be lit in commemoration or celebration or whatever it is of the introduction of internment, which I think will happen at some stage over this weekend.
Yeah, August 1971,
On that bonfire, we have signs referencing Stephen Carroll, a murdered police officer, murdered after the Good Friday Agreement. Mm-hmm. David Black, a prison officer, murdered after the Good Friday Agreement. Mm-hmm. A reference to Willie Fraser, who was a victims campaigner who died very recently. Yeah. Whether you liked his politics or not, it is a recently bereaved family. And we have a reference to 18 soldiers who were blown to bits at Warren Point, which is only a couple of miles.
Yeah,
1979, yeah. It could be 40 years ago at the end of this month. And we have all the flags of Northern Ireland and the UK. And my question is, how is this a shared space? How does this lead to people of the unionist or loyalist community ever feeling that they could be part of a new Ireland? And indeed, how come there's no outrage the way the outrage happens over the 12th, the bonfires on the 11th night?
Mary, I can hear your exasperation. But just to be clear for our listeners who haven't seen the photographs, these references that you talk about to David Black and Stephen Carroll and other people who were murdered, they are gloating references. They are two fingers.
Absolutely.
They're gloating. They're saying we got them.
Yeah. Absolutely, we got them. And they could put so many other names on there. I don't know why they single out those people. I mean, especially Stephen Carroll and David Black, who were murdered after the peace agreement. How are they moving forward? Where is the respect and equality for everybody? Is it just for a certain number of people?
And you also mentioned in your email, let's not forget about GAA. What is the issue with the GAA?
Well, GAA clubs around Northern Ireland are throughout the summer running underage, under 12 and under 14 competitions with medals depicting IRA men who are dead. They may have been shot by security forces, but they were terrorists. That doesn't educate our young people to move forward in a shared space in a way that respects other people. You don't, it doesn't matter if you put somebody's face on a medal, that doesn't sanitize their crimes. When they were shot, they were out to commit murder. That's not how we educate young people that everybody deserves respect.
And who are these individuals you were saying are commemorated in these under 12 medals?
I have emailed photographs through. I can't remember. I tend not to pay great attention to the name of dead terrorists on any side of the conflict. But the names are on a banner for the under 14 competition, which is happening in Armagh. I believe it's this week, next week.
But
you'll see them in the pictures.
But But here in the South, for example, there's train stations and hospitals called after the signatories of the 1916 proclamation who today's terrorists, the people who, now people argue quite strongly, and I know the argument that in 1916 a group of men marched up openly up O'Connell Street in uniforms and took on the British Army man to man as it was there. They didn't plant car bombs and they didn't go around assassinating unarmed people. But anyway, that's a separate debate. But there's always been a history in Ireland of naming places and events after what some people regard as their heroes and their freedom fighters.
Yeah, Joe, you may call that for the Republic of Ireland. That's fine if you want to, and I have my own personal opinion on that. But if you want to name something in the Republic of Ireland after your hero, your freedom fighter, that's okay. Northern Ireland is a very different place where we're constantly being lectured about the need to move forward, to respect one another, to have equality, to have justice. You will not achieve that by indoctrinating 12-year-olds and under 12s to respect people who were out to commit murder.
And
it's quite simple. Okay, I grew up in Tipperary, a proud Tipperary woman, looking forward to the 18th of August. Okay. Hopefully we'll beat the Cats. Right? I have raised my child here in Northern Ireland and she has never gone anywhere near anything to do with the GAA event because it is a completely different mindset. And the thing is, we need to break that mindset. And if we're not going to do it with under 12s, where do we move forward?
But it's also fair to say that the GAA in Northern Ireland is part of people's identity. On the nationalist community, primarily. Not totally, but primarily.
Yes. And that in Tipperary, you have Protestant and Catholic playing together. Protestant and Catholic on the sideline cheering on their team, be it little clubs or the county team. You don't get that by and large here. And
because
you will
never get that. It's a different society. Like the enmity, and that's too strong a word to say, between Tipperary and Kilkenny that you mentioned there.
I know that.
But up the north, especially during the Troubles, the GAA became a badge of identity, and it also became a target for if you remember the GAA or on your way to our secretary. I remember Michael Brown was a GAA club secretary. He was murdered by the UVF. So it's a different society. It's a different culture. And
Joe. We don't have a hierarchy of victims.
I know that.
Apparently, we don't have a hierarchy of victims. Yes, all our high-profile investigations are all on one side, by and large, of the community. Our retired police officers who are suffering terrible ill health, terrible mental health, sit every day waiting for the knock on the door that their case that they were involved with is going to be investigated, that they may be prosecuted, that they may be held up to account, when you have others walking around with letters of comfort never to be investigated. You know, that is not how you're going to build a future in this country.
Well, do you believe, Mary, that people who allegedly, because nothing has been proved, but people who members of the security forces who allegedly committed crimes during the Troubles, do you think they should stand trial? You obviously think they don't. They shouldn't.
If members of terrorist organisations are excused from standing trial, then no, I don't see why men and women who were trying to defend situations, and don't forget, most of those were 18 years old. Mm-hmm. They were children in the most horrific situations. Why,
they
should be prosecuted?
When I was up there a few weeks ago, the banner I saw most, it was around the 12, was in support of Soldier F, who's this soldier who's been charged with murder, going back to Bloody Sunday. And that was basically saying he should not be prosecuted. That's your position as well.
I don't believe he should be prosecuted. If people on the other side of the community, terrorists on the other side of the community, who went out and murdered, regardless of whether you were male, female, young or old, unborn children. If they're not going to be prosecuted,
well, a lot of them, in fairness, a lot of them were, Mary. A lot of them were.
Joe,
and that's why Loncash was full.
Yeah,
and McGabbery.
But if you go back and you look through, if you go and look through the statistics, you will see just how many unsolved.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm currently
on all sides.
Well, I'm currently doing stuff on children who were killed, and the vast majority of their deaths are unsolved as well, and tragically.
Yes.
And I know actually a greater percentage of the children that are unsolved. But that's neither here nor there. But I suppose, Mary, what I'm trying to get to, I don't want to go into the circumstances of how you moved to Newry. Was that through family or marriage or job?
I moved for work. Met a man and stayed. I meant to come here for a year and I am still here 28 years later.
And do you like living in Northern Ireland?
I love Northern Ireland. It is the most amazing place. The scenery, the people.
Yeah.
Most of the time, everything is wonderful. You know, we have absolutely no issue with any of our neighbours. But when I go to Newry, and I see a trickler flying, and I see a bonfire that has that kind of hatred. It makes me uncomfortable under the flag that I grew up under.
And what that would, but
that is wrong.
But when
that
you're,
is wrong.
But I don't know which side of Newry you live in. But if you're driving into Newry City, so to speak, from the northern side, from the Belfast direction, sure, the flagstones are painted in the colours of the Union Jack. The houses are decorated in the colours of the Union Jack. It's that time of year. It's tribal. It's obviously political because of the identity issue.
Are you saying that because Union Jacks fly in the country where that is the flag of the country, that it is okay to reference blowing 18 soldiers to death on a bonfire?
Of course I don't, Mary. But what I'm trying to say is that you have the extremists on one side and the extremists on the other side, and both of them, for whatever sick reason, and the one you're talking about is the one in Newry, where someone gets down on their hands and knees and writes a banner or a poster, and they deliberately gloat over the name of a murdered father or a murdered young policeman or whatever, and they gloat over that. But it's also true that, and the loyalist bonfires, they gloat over people who've been killed on the other side as well.
I condemn them too, but what I'm saying to you is that one side of our community is telling us that we need to have respect and equality and justice for everybody, and yet they're not delivering it on the streets. They're not delivering it in their glorification of terror.
Who are you accusing of writing? Whose handwriting is on those slogans?
I don't know who the handwriting is. What I'm saying is we're being told that rights and equality and respect are important, and yet go into Newry today, and that is the respect that those dead men receive. It's not right on any bonfire, but I'm just saying that we hear so much about the 11th of July bonfires, and there is nothing out there condemning what is happening today, and I am condemning it.
Okay, stay with us, Mary. Thomas, good afternoon. 51551, your point, please, Thomas. joe@rt.ie is a simple email from anywhere in the wide earthly world. Thomas, your point, please. You're listening to Mary Linus.
Hi, Joe. I agree that it's absolutely disgraceful that these things have been put on bonfires, but actually, there's two points that I would make. The first point is that bonfires fundamentally should be banned. I mean, a bonfire is not cultural. There's nothing cultural about burning wood or tires or rubbish, as the case is often with the bonfires in Northern Ireland, on both sides of the divide. So that's the first point, that they should be tackled from a pollution perspective. The second point I would make, though, is what I disagree with Mary on is linking these bonfires to the wider nationalist community in Northern Ireland, because I think it's such a small portion. I mean, last night in Belfast, as an example, I was in Belfast last night. and there was bonfires that were condemned across the nationalist community. There was a very small portion of people that were involved in putting together the bonfires. And in fact, I think that the nationalist parties came out, including Jerry Kelly for Sinn Féin, and said, you know, this is not acceptable. The police need to do more about stopping these bonfires. So to then try and kind of link to the GAA and the use of these medals, I think that's an unfair analogy, because there is an element of a need for respect for culture, and that's the element of respect. You respect the GAA, you respect the 12th of July, you respect both sides' right to look at the history of it and to celebrate that history, but you don't respect bonfires, you don't respect burning flags of any colour, you don't respect burning political banners, you don't respect burning the names of people that have passed away. They're the things that need to be cut out. But to try and link them to things like the GAA, it's a massive step backwards, because, I mean, I don't think that's fair both to the GAA and to the people that are involved in the GAA and in the local community, because they don't support these bonfires. Of that, I am very sure. It's a very small element of people that are doing them. The lads that are putting these bonfires together, I'm pretty sure you won't find them on a GAA pitch, because they're too busy causing trouble. They're thugs. That's the reality of it.
Mm. Mary?
I'm not linking the GAA to the bonfire. What I'm saying is there is a level of disrespect and hatred shown on the bonfire, and then you have a GAA club running competitions for underage, for under 12s, commemorating dead terrorists. These were people who were out to commit murder. And if you have an under 12 thinking that that's okay to honour that person, their next step is to go and make that bonfire and mock dead soldiers, policemen, prison officers. And then where do they go from there? How do they build a shared future? And you can't do that if that indoctrination is happening when they're 10. I think
that is a link to the GAA with respect, Mary. I think that you can't say I'm not linking to the GAA and then make a positive link.
No, can you deny that those events are happening?
I don't deny that they're happening. But
yeah,
what
but in fairness, Mary, Thomas is saying they are happening, but that they're isolated events.
They're not isolated events. If you go around the GAA clubs here in Northern Ireland, it's a very different kind of atmosphere. But why do you need to name an under-12s tournament after a terrorist? Is there nobody, you know, can you not pick a hero in the GAA? Why is your hero a dead terrorist?
But Mary, that's the problem. When you talk about respect, level of respect, I'm not suggesting that's right, first of all. But what I'm suggesting is there needs to be a level of respect to both sides to allow the commemoration of things that perhaps the other side don't particularly like. The problem is, if you link that to these bonfires, the next stage of naming, for example, Mr. Carroll, or in fact, let's look at another example, Ronan Kerr, you know, who was a GAA player, and I've seen his name on the wall, I've seen his name on bonfires. It's disgraceful. But the reality is, that cannot be linked to the GAA football clubs having their commemoration of their culture.
So why could that GAA club not have a tournament in memory of Ronan Kerr?
But Barry Football Club, where Ronan played, do. But the point I'm trying to make to you is, if your point was right, and that every club that has these events across the country is pouring fuel on the fire, bad analogy to use in the context of bonfires, but if that's what's causing these bonfires, why are there not internment bonfires in every town that has a GAA club? There simply aren't. What you're finding is there are internment bonfires at places where there's a lack of education, there's a lack of investment, there's an element of people that perhaps haven't been able to get past some of the problems in the past because they just don't have necessarily the right support. I don't know what the problem is with those people, but to say that that's the wider nationalist community or that's got anything to do with GAA clubs, I think it's unfair to the GAA.
Okay,
I'm not saying it's to do with GAA clubs. I made two separate points. My email was quite clear, but I'm just making two separate points. GAA was always huge in my life, always, and remains, as I said, part of something that I would love to be involved in, but not here in Northern Ireland.
Okay, let me bring Michael. I want to bring Michael in. Thanks, Thomas. 51551. Michael, your point, please.
Hi, Joe.
You're listening to Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you? I'm living in North Dublin, but come from North Belfast, as my accent probably gives me away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 59 years of age, so I came through the middle of it. And I take the point around the bonfires in particular, absolute disgrace. Anybody calling themselves a Republican and affiliating to any of that is just beyond my comprehension. So, first of all, I agree with you on that. But conflating those issues with the GAA, with indeed your branding of people as terrorists, is incredibly unhelpful. Whilst I totally respect your political opinion that you view them in that light, huge communities in the north of Ireland don't. Seen them as volunteers of the IRA and indeed absolutely celebrate their death, and they have the right to do that. I think you need to consider I don't know why you're laughing. I mean, that's really not a very nice thing to do, just to say that. When you're talking about people's lives and you're talking about people respecting people, that's not very respectful, Mary.
Firstly, I didn't laugh. I tried to stifle a sneeze. But this idea that you're chaining somebody to a volunteer and celebrate their death, we need to move past that.
But you know, where in any society, Mary, does that actually happen? In the society that you grew up in, the 26 counties, to this day, IRA volunteers are commemorated, and Joe mentioned that places are named. Sorry, just to finish. So throughout the 26 counties, there are monuments to, as you call it, the War of Independence and to 1916, celebrating their lives in a very sincere and honest way. Why can't we? There's no difference in that struggle, just to let you know. And the IRA killed many, many British soldiers, RIC members. This myth that the good old IRA were kind of some sort of benign group of Boy Scouts is absolute nonsense. They were ruthless and were very effective.
Yes. Absolutely, they were ruthless, but they didn't go around putting bombs in chip shops, blowing people to bits.
Well, you can start looking at individual IRA operations throughout the conflicts that resulted in British occupation of Ireland. And trust me, you'll come up with a number of them now. There's nobody of their right mind that I know in my society, in my community where I grew up in North Belfast, felt that putting a bomb in that chip shop was a good idea or smart or anything like it. It was absolutely the wrong thing to do. So you can look at anything under a microscope and make those points, and I wouldn't disagree with you on the chip shop thing, but that wasn't the nature of the conflict.
Well, what was the nature of the conflict, Michael?
Well, the nature of the conflict was, and I think what happens, especially in Southern society, and this is maybe a generalisation, but I think it holds true, is there's a lack of understanding of the conditions that we grew up in as Catholics in the north of Ireland. It was in 1969, when the civil rights marchers went out to look for those basic rights, they were beaten off the roads, and we all know that.
Yeah, but it's also fair to say, Michael, that a significant proportion of the civil rights marchers were savagely treated by the B specials and the RUC. There's no two ways about it. But a significant proportion of them took the route of non-violence. I'm thinking of the SCLP and John Hume and James Mallon, Mark Durkin, and all the Alliance parties. Sure. They took a position of talk, as long as you can, to whoever you can. And the war, as it's called, and that's open to contention as well, it had no mandate.
Okay, can I just say, let me deal with the war one first of all. Do you know how many British troops were stationed in the north of Ireland at the height of the conflict? British troops, RUC men, UDR men, 58,000 at the height of the conflict. Do you know how many were posted into Afghanistan? 8,000. Now, you're trying to tell me that there wasn't a war in the north of Ireland? It was a war, and we all know it. I know it suits a southern narrative to say that it wasn't a war. It was a war. To go to your other point about why the SDLP...
Wars are fought by two armies that have sovereign legitimacy. Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Well, with respect, Joe, the legitimacy that the IRA had in the north of Ireland was from the people. And that's the only legitimacy that I recognise, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
So they had a legitimacy and they were supported very well. I don't deny
that they were supported, but in terms of the legitimacy, I don't want to go down this road because it is so such a contentious history. But in fairness, it was only when Sinn Féin gave up violence their connection with the IRA that they actually prospered at the ballot box.
Sorry, I disagree with that narrative totally.
Well, Sinn Féin have got bigger and bigger, and I've met some of the reps up the north, and they are fantastic reps. They are fantastic people and fantastic reps. But history shows that violence did not have the mandate that you're saying it does have.
Can I explain why I think that's factually incorrect? In the early 70s, the IRA's direction was armed struggle only. Anything else was seen as a distraction. So Sinn Féin, with their abstentionist policy, didn't stand for anything. That gave the SDLP the space for the support from the Catholic people. There was nobody else to vote for. Once Sinn Féin began, after the hunger strike, to look for electoral support, they absolutely got it. And they got it in tens of thousands and are now the largest nationalists.
Yeah.
To try and say that they didn't have support of the people is nonsense.
No, I didn't say that, Michael. I said they didn't have as much support as they have now.
No, I disagree with you again.
The numbers are there to show it. They are now the biggest nationalist party up the north. They weren't during the Troubles. But anyway, by the way, Michael, and I take your point about the conditions that Catholics and nationalist areas, the awful, horrific, Catholics. Horrific conditions that people were living in. I take that totally, and the oppression that was going on. But anyway, that's not the road. Mary has the floor, so to speak. George, do you want to make a point to Mary Linus, please? And then I'll let you come back in, Mary, I promise. George.
Two quick things, Joe. Nice to speak to you. I came in during when the programme had started, and I want to say to Mary, I've just heard her name, God help us, Mary, with that attitude. And the other thing I say to you before I make my point is, you're talking about legitimacy. No imperialistic British government ever had legitimacy in Ireland. Don't have it and never will have it. There's no legitimacy about an imperial army that invades another country. Now, the point I want to make about the Troubles this week, and I want to say that I'm anti-Bonfire, no matter whose side it is. I watched the news over this period. I stopped watching it years ago just to see the antics of what's going on.
Okay.
On the 11th night, as per usual, in the lead up to the 12th of July, young unionist Bonfire makers erected bonfires that were a real threat to the areas where they were erected. The PSNI, as per usual, stepped back. They were under orders from Belfast City Council to do something about it, but they point-blank refused to move their men in on force. As soon as the young Catholics, Nationalist Republicans of the New Lodge Road start erecting a bonfire to commemorate
the anniversary of internment.
The PSNI are ordered in heavy riot gear to stop the bonfire at all costs. Now, why is that not pointed out? But George, is it not fair to say?
No, that's not true.
Okay, Mary.
No, Mary, that is true. Let Mary reply.
Mary.
The PSNI withdrew from the New Lodge area yesterday. And the quote I heard was, to protect the community. There were shouts of kill them and bring out the guns. So they moved away. The bonfire was not taken down. It was lit last night. There are two people in hospital today after being stabbed at that event. The PSNI they failed to manage both of those.
Mary, let me say
both the loyalists and the New Lodge.
I've heard your comments today. I listen to Joe's programme regularly. You're a Tipperary woman living up here in the north, and I honestly couldn't believe some of your comments about we should be ashamed to fly our flag in our country. And you liken this part of Ireland to being another country. And I think that is absolutely reprehensible.
I don't
This is the island of Ireland from the north to the south. As Martin McGuinness told a girl one night in the Late Show, we are every bit as Irish here in the north, in the Bogside, the Craig and the Falls Road, as the people of Kerry and Cork and Galway. There is no border in our minds.
That's okay. What
the Irish Trickler, if you know your history, Mary, the Irish Trickler was never designed or presented to anybody to infuriate our Protestant neighbours, and the intelligent ones know that. It's the green for the Irish Catholic, it's the orange for the Orange Ulster Protestant, and the white in the middle for peace among us.
For peace. And yet you hear it referred to as the green, white and gold, not the green, white and orange.
Well, that's not my God's party.
Okay, let Mary finish. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, sorry.
I'm not saying people can't fly their flags. What I'm saying is that if we have condemnation of bonfires on one side of the community, you then have to be open to be criticised and condemned for the other side. And the image today of what's happening in Newry glorifies nobody, and it does nothing for community relations. It does nothing for bringing forward the future, which is supposed to be about a new Ireland. This is the image. Leo Varadkar said that there would have to be a new constitution. You know, if we have people shouting Chucky Arlaw and it's time for a united Ireland, a border referendum, then you need to look and see how you are going to bring people with you. And what's happening in Newry today is not bringing anybody.
Stay with us, Mary. Stay with us, George. And loads of other calls as well. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Joe at RT.ie. Mary Linus contacted us and she sent us an email. She's from Tipperary, now living in Newry, has been for a long, long time. And she absolutely loves in Northern Ireland. However, she's deeply upset about these effigies that are appearing on, let's call them, for the sake of just telegraph at the minute, nationalist bonfires over the last few days in Newry, which name and gloat, it seems, over dead policemen and dead British Army soldiers. And then she also said that do not forget about the GAA underage tournaments being run, and I'm quoting, in memory of dead terrorists, calling them volunteers, has not sanitised their crimes. Still a quote, pictures of dead terrorists, quote, on medals for under 12 can never be acceptable, surely. And a number of other people are contesting that position. Michael Condon, Michael, you're a former community worker in Derry. Go ahead, Michael.
Joe, how are you, Joe? I listen to your show every day. It was the first time I've actually rang in. First of all, Joe, I don't like the way that lady's been badgered, because she's entitled to her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'll make that very clear, that I respect that lady's opinion, and I don't like the way sort of she's been. I can see where people are coming from. I have a very strong opinion myself, but people of mutual respect would go a long way. You know, the lady's entitled to her opinion. Her opinion's wrong, in my opinion, but she's entitled to her opinion. And I'm not doing the water-free game, Joe, as we always do up here in Northern Ireland. I talk factually. What's you know? I have a lot of experience in the community here in Derry. There's a lot of bonfires in the 11th night, Joe, that things are burned, like, you know, effigies of children who used to play for, who support Celtic. Wee boy in Belfast, if you remember, his name has left me, and his name was put on, he was a child, Joe's child, whose name was put on an 11th night bonfire. I'm a history buff, and I love Irish history, and the 11th night bonfire is to represent the Battle of the Boyne, which happened down beside yourselves, and had nothing to do with a 9-year-old or 8-year-old child who died of cancer. So there are two sides. I equally agree that the naming of Stephen Carroll and other people is a disgrace, if a bonfire is supposed to be regarding internment, which I think I don't agree with either, and I'm talking from a very, very strong nationalist perspective, Joe. What I will say is that there's a lot of things, you know, two wrongs to make a right. I know Mary said that, and I agree with Mary, but we can't eulogise about one thing and then not eulogise
about
the other.
Well, Michael, but I suppose one of the thing of what Mary's saying is how can we go forward?
Well, you see, Joe, I think people need to take a wee leaf out of things that happened in Derry. you know, you talked earlier to that other fella from Michael, who I have to say, and I don't like saying because I have a lot of time for you, Joe, but I disagree with a few things you said to Michael.
Okay, no bother.
You're factually incorrect about a few things. The troubles in Derry, Joe, I can tell you straight, and I can tell you honestly as a Derry man and a proud Derry man, that the troubles really, this section of troubles started in my city when the British Army murdered 13 people in the streets here. They opened fire on them, Joe, like animals, and shot them in the bog side. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, who's
well,
a loyalist...
It started before that, when the RUC attacked the civil rights...
I said the most recent... Joe, pre-1971, I can tell you now, pre-1971, the IRA and Derry were finished. They were finished, Joe. Mm-hmm. And after the 30th of January 1970... In 1971,
Bloody Sunday.
72, sorry, and Bloody Sunday happened. It was the biggest recruitment drive
in
the area ever hoped for.
I know.
Caused by the British Army, Joe. Let's be factual here.
It was a massacre. There's no two ways about
caused
that.
Caused by the British. But what I'm saying to you, Joe, was that the influx of young men joining the IRA was caused by Bloody Sunday, which was caused by the paratroop regiment in this country. And then... They burn part of, and in Derry, as I'm talking here, the stayed on the sideline in Derry, and I'm on the water side where I see paratroopers' flags flying, which is obviously a kick in the teeth to the Catholic people of Derry. So, but how we move on from it, Joe, is in Derry, we could show maybe the rest of this country how we do it. On the 12th of August, we have a parade here from the Apprentice Boys of Derry, who are a Protestant organisation who walk the walls of Derry on the 12th of August here, and it's their day. And there hasn't been trouble, Joe, in Derry for nearly 20 years because the communities came together. We all must love together in a shared space, Joe. We all must love together in a shared history. But we can't pick one thing out of a history. And you know, that lady said, and I said, I refuse to badger that lady. That lady's entitled to her opinion. She's a very nice lady. I disagree with her. That's what this country should be about. I should be able to disagree with that lady and her with me without offending her or being aggressive, and I had no intention of doing that. She's entitled to her opinion. What I'm saying to you, Joe, is that people should look at what we do in Derry. In Derry here, the Apprentice Boys goes off without a hitch. There's never a problem, Joe. And
bizarrely enough, it was 50 years ago next week, the Apprentice Boys March led to trouble, lots of trouble.
Exactly. Mm. But, Joe, what I'm saying to you is, if we come to the future, let's look at where we are now. In Derry, we're in a situation where through community liaison, and not through political parties, Joe, not through Sinn Féin and the DUP and all those each of two won't speak to each other, but really do speak to each other and all that nonsense. People on the ground in Derry said, you know what? This is our city. The Apprentice Boys of Derry, and by the way, it's Derry, not Apprentice Boys of Londonderry. The Apprentice Boys of Derry are more than happy, are more entitled to march around the city walls in this city than anybody else has. In fact, more so because they were their walls. Okay. Let's talk about history.
Michael, now that you mentioned, but just as an aside, who uses the phrase Londonderry anymore, apart from the BBC?
Exactly. Very few people, Joe. The people of Derry, I can tell you now, Joe, and I live here and I work, been across community for a long time. There are very few, if any, tall people in this city call our city Londonderry, and it's got nothing to do with the Britishness. At the end of the day, it was the Guild of London who came in and built our Guild Hall. Joe, this is history that should be celebrated. But for some reason, it has been politicised. The same as gay marriage has now been politicised. The Irish language is politicised. Nonsense, Joe. But I don't want to get off your point of the day. But the point I'm making to you is that bonfires should be... There should be no bonfires anyway, even for the 11th night, or for August, or for anything else, or for interment. People want to light a... In our Christian faith, and I know there's a lot of people in Ireland who are non-Christian, and that's great as well. In our Christian faith, we would tend to light candles to of remembrance. Mm. Why not have a beacon or a candle where there's nobody getting their houses burned, or there's no... Like, what happened last night, Joe? And I got to say, I'm a very strong nationalist Republican person. What happened last night, Joe, was a disgrace.
Okay. I'll let Mary come back in. But the point I was making to the other Michael earlier on about facts and figures is that before the ceasefire, for the IRACs for 1994, the SCLP had twice the percentage vote. Michael, let me finish, please. This is a fact, a statistic. Now, whether people like it or not, it was just before the ceasefire in 1994, the SCLP had twice the percentage vote of Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin passed them out in 2001. That's 3 years after Good Friday Agreement. Now, Mary, do you want to reply to some of the points that Michael was making? Go ahead, Mary.
Well, the first thing I would say is that the most important thing is that we do respect one another and we do respect one another's differences. That's intrinsic to all behaviour of decent humankind. And yes, bonfires are wrong. They're wrong on all sides of the community. A beacon would be a lovely idea. It happens in some parts on the 11th night.
And Mary, what do you think of... Like, I'm reading some of the vitriol directed at you, and me, by the way, but I'm well used to it.
I'm getting used to reading that.
Are you?
Yeah. I follow Irish media regularly, and anything that refers to Northern Ireland, the keyboard warriors are out.
Would Mary Linus be known where you live for your opinions?
No, not particularly. Okay. And actually, I'm quite surprised. Why is Mary Linus, but everybody else is George and Michael?
Oh, sorry, Michael Condren. Yeah, sorry. And Kyle Black is the next speaker in a few minutes. Sorry, Mary, I didn't. If you don't want me to use your name, I know it's a bit late now. But I wasn't.
I wouldn't be known. Okay. I am so frustrated with... My daughter grew up here. Mm-hmm. If I am blessed with grandchildren or great-grandchildren, I would like them to grow up in an environment where our differences are respected
and that we can function
together. Okay. And that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking for.
So Mary...
We'll all disagree on history.
Okay. Mary, I apologise if I used your surname and you didn't wish me to use it.
No, it's fine.
I take your point, especially in the... Mary, would your friends and bear with me when I ask this question in my cack-handed way. Would your friends in Tipperary be aware of your opinions about the North?
I've been away from Tipperary for a very long time. Okay. And we tend not to discuss politics or Northern Ireland they will disagree.
Okay. Do you regard yourself as Irish or British?
I have an Irish passport. I was born in Ireland. I am an Irish woman. I listen to so many people talking about changing and applying for Irish passports. I have to admit, I have considered applying for a British citizenship.
Why?
I am deeply uncomfortable with the vitriol that is poured out against people on this island who have a British identity or believe in something that's not... green, white and orange Ireland.
Okay. And Mary, just one sec, Michael. Mary, and bear with me and tell me to get lost if I ask these questions. Your children, would they regard themselves as Irish or British?
She's British. Yeah.
And how does she show that?
She doesn't. She gets on very well with everybody, and that's the thing. I have brought my child up to respect everybody, every religion and no religion.
Does she have an Irish or a British, or both? I don't know. Does she have an Irish or British passport?
She has a British passport.
And would she get an Irish one, given what's coming down the road in terms of travel and Brexit and October? No.
Well, she's certainly never expressed any intention to.
Okay. And again, you know, all these markers I'm going after, Mary, apologies. Would you be a Brexiteer or a Remainer?
Well, I voted to leave.
Okay.
And I would vote to leave again.
Would you? Okay. But I stay with us. But after this break, more people want to join in. Thanks, Mary. Stay with us, please.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Mary contacted us. She's originally from Tipperary, living in Newry for a long time, is regards herself as an Irish woman, but deeply upset, one, at the bonfire currently in Newry, where it has references and gloating over dead police officers and dead soldiers. And also, she made a point that she believes the GAA up there, she's a big supporter of Tipperary, GAA, especially hurling, but she believes GAA in Northern Ireland should not be naming underage tournaments in memories of what she calls dead terrorists. Other people call them volunteers and members of the IRA, and they shouldn't be, their images should not be on medals for under 12s. Brian Sterling, your point, please. Thank you, Brian.
Yes, Joe. Hi, how are you, Joe?
Good, thanks.
Joe, obviously, I'm just ringing in the show, I was listening today. I'm probably from what I would call a silent majority in Northern Ireland of both Protestants and Catholics, mm-hmm. who have no interest in either of bonfires or any of this. I mean, I'm unfortunately 61 years old, Protestant from East Belfast, but I've always been brought up in the middle of a road, moderate attitude to life here. And I mean, sometimes I think we have extremists from both sides who sometimes get on the airways, but there is that majority in Northern Ireland. We are proud to be both British and Irish.
Mm-hmm. And where will that take, or should it take us anyway, Brian, in terms of the world we now live in, where the idea of a united Ireland, a poll, Brexit, no deal, you know, all the language that's swirling around at the moment. Which I detect, and in fairness to other callers as well, but I detect it at the heart of Mary's call, like, where are we going to go if you still see displays of such venom as have been witnessed in different parts of the community over the last 2 or 3 months?
Yes.
By minorities, but, I admit, by minorities.
Yeah. But sometimes what concerns me through the media, and I mean, the media are going to concentrate on this, you will understand that. But, you know, that doesn't reflect the whole of Northern Ireland here. I mean, I'm standing in part of East Belfast, which is business community. I mean, there's no albums, there's no flags, there's nothing like that. Mm. You know, and sometimes these certain pockets and areas get full-time media coverage, you know. And I feel that people, you're talking about Brexit, and I personally voted against Brexit, but, you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
I just want to ask Brian, given that I asked Mary the similar question. Brian, okay, you voted against Brexit. You volunteered that. You said you're a member of the middle ground. Does that mean are you unionist?
From a unionist background, I would call myself unionist light.
Okay.
I mean, I've voted for Alliance in the past. I've voted for SDLP when it's been worthwhile. I've voted official unions, you know.
Okay. So. And that's interesting. Mary, what would you describe yourself as in political terms?
Disillusioned, probably.
There's no party called disillusioned. But you know what I mean in terms of politics? Brian has a lovely phrase there, unionist light.
Yeah, I'm probably unionist light as well.
Okay. Well, the two of you should get together and set up a political party because people are saying you're making a lot of sense. But there is a lot of people disagreeing with you as well. Let me bring Colin in. Colin, your point, please. 51551 is the text.
How are you, Joe? How are you, Mary? Hiya, Mary. I just rang in actually to give Mary a bit of support there. She's right. What she's actually trying to say is, what I picked up from the conversation is, to do away with all and stop educating kids about both sides. Start educating kids about people that did this, people that did that. Let people get on together again. Do you know what I mean? I know I grew up that way. My father was an Orangeman, God bless him. I'm living down in the south now. I've been down here about 30 years. And basically, when he left the north, he was from up that way, he was in County Down. When he left the north, he joined the Air Force. He got away. And he got away from the orange and the green crack. And we were brought up like little orange men. But we got away from that as well because we weren't living there. We weren't being showed these pictures. We weren't being... Do you know what I mean? All right, it's great. Let each side, like Mary was saying, let each side believe in what they want to believe because they're probably right on both sides. But don't keep educating kids. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm basically saying. I'm Mary, fair play to you. You're a great speaker and... No fair play to you. That's all I can say.
Okay, you've said
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You've said it well.
I,
Mary.
Hello, I just want to see an end to the heat. And we can't keep sending people away. We can't say they got away from us. We have to build a future. We have to keep our brightest and best. And that has to start at mum's knee. When that little baby comes into the world, we have to stop indoctrinating.
Okay. Now, I just want to bring
The indoctrination is happening on both sides, and I condemn both
sides. Okay. Michael Condren, apologies. I know you wanted to come back in. Go ahead, Michael.
Just going to have a meeting with Joe just for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Mary, as an Irishman, Mary, I have to say I'm really saddened by you wanting to give up your Irish nationality. I think that's terrible. And I mean, it's terrible on the side of nationalist Republicans like me that if we have made you feel that way, because this is a disgrace. I'm well known, Joe, for my political views here in the city. Mm-hmm. I'm well known that I'm a straight talker and I'm an honest person. And I have to say, Mary, it really saddened me because you're a lovely person who is entitled to her opinion in every way. Mm-hmm. As I said to you earlier on, I may not agree with you, but I'll never offend you or upset you, because that's the way we need to move forward here in this country, Joe.
Okay. Thanks indeed. That's Michael Condren in Derry. Let me bring in Fred Johnson. Fred, your point, please.
Hello, Joe. I'm just listening to the discussion here.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly a fan of republicanism as it is. But I'll tell you this, having been born and raised in the north of Ireland and educated up in there, I can tell you that the bias or the discrimination mm-hmm. or the nastiness, whichever way you want to put it, starts for Catholics at a very, very young age. It certainly did with me. The kids in the street. Your best mates playing out in the street can turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. And call you a tag or a fenian or whatever the epithet happens to be. So you learn at a very early age. This is before Burn Tollet or anything else, the big events that you know about.
Your name, your school uniform.
The name of your school uniform. Yeah. You better be careful about where you're walking home, what area you're walking home through. There's always an unease. There was always an unease, I should say, and a fear of the uniform being recognised, all of that. But you somehow absorbed it and obviously got through it, lived through it. But it was there well before the disturbances that we know all about, well before the marches. It was inherent in everyday living.
Who's that, Brian?
I'd just like to say from an East Belfast Protestant, I'll be waving on Ireland tomorrow in Aviva. So good luck to Ireland and the rugby.
Ina is in turn. You're in Dublin. Your point, please, Ina.
Hello, Joe. Well, unlike one of your callers there, I don't say fair play to Mary. I absolutely hated the way there was a blanket denigration of the GAA. It is a cultural organisation.
That's not what I said.
I'll let you reply in a second, Mary. Sure. I promise, Mary, I'll let you reply. Go ahead.
It is a cultural organisation that covers not just the 26 counties, but 32 counties. All I can say is 50 years of Orange misrule has brought about what we call the Troubles. And, I mean, internment without trial, the only people who were interned were Catholics, and every Catholic at the time was seen as a terrorist. The cover-up on violence from the RUC and the British Army is notorious. Sir Chris Patton, when he was asked to reform the RUC, it couldn't be done. The RUC had to be disbanded. Now, I have been in the north of Ireland, unfortunately, around the 11th of July, and I have seen our tricolour burned. You talk about a new beginning or whatever. How will it be when the likes of Gregory Campbell in Stormont insults our own Irish language? Instead of saying Gura Mahagat, his version is curry my yogurt. Now, who in their right mind slurs or denigrates somebody else's language? I'd like to know what you think about that, Mary.
Firstly, I did not blanket the GAA. I expressed my own personal love for the GAA, how important it has been in my life. I did point out, however, that celebrating dead volunteers, stroke terrorists, whichever you want to call them, for under 12s, is, in my opinion, which is valid, inappropriate.
In your opinion, it's valid. What would you say about the Miami massacre and the cover-up there?
wrong. What bit of I have condemned the wrong on both sides are you not getting? I have condemned the loyalist bonfires. I have condemned loyalist murders. What I'm saying is that stop looking at the Miami Shoe Band. What bit of the Narrow Water 18 soldiers murders are you going to condemn? The men who carried that out escaped across the border.
That's what you say. There's no proof of that. But the men, the men who carried out the Miami massacre have never come to justice.
Yes. Oh, the allegation that Captain Nirak was there when he wasn't even
We
don't have the time to go into every single atrocity, but it is true.
But
Mary, it is true. The Miami massacre. There were serving members of the UDR in the group.
I have condemned that. What I'm saying to you is, if there is justice for one, it's justice for all. What I'm saying is, we need to move forward and we need to stop educating children right from the very start on both sides of the community that it is acceptable to glorify terror. It is not.
Well,
there is no question.
You won't move forward until those who perpetrated the Dublin and the Monaghan bombs are brought to justice.
Well, some of them are dead.
Why only Dublin and Monaghan? What about Le Mans? What about Narrow Water? What about the Shankill Road? What about Bloody Monday in Belfast? You know, why is it only Dublin and Monaghan that need to be resolved before we move forward?
We had nothing
forward.
To do with the troubles in the north.
Really?
That's why, as I said to you at the beginning, it's Orange misrule for 50 years where Catholics,
you mentioned...
They stayed silent for so long.
Okay.
And as Joe said,
civil
rights march didn't work because they were just beaten off the streets. So, I mean, what do you expect?
But Enya, the Troubles, as they're called, started 50 years ago, effectively next week. And there's one, Patrick Rooney was a 9-year-old child, first child to die shot by the RUC on August the 15th, 1969. So it's 50 years. He would be 59 today if he should be alive. But it's 50 years ago since the Troubles started. It's 1998 is regarded. I know there was atrocities after that, initially in August of 98. But 98 is regarded as the end of the Troubles. So we're 21 years beyond that now. And I think Mary's point is, what can we do to move forward?
Well, stop sneering at the Republic for a start and denigrating its leaders.
I'm not sneering
at the Irish language in Stormont, the likes of Gregory Campbell, as I said.
Gregory Campbell does not represent everybody.
And try feeding the crocodile, that's all I say.
And that's your reference to what Arlene Foster said before last election, if you keep feeding the crocodile.
And remember, Gerry Adams, with equality will break the bastards. You know, you can find quotes from everybody if you really want to do tit for tat. What I'm asking and I'm challenging you is, when do we move forward? And
okay, say with us.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Dee O'Malley, you're listening to Mary Linus. Go ahead, Dee.
Hi, Joe. I've just been here listening to the programme, and while I agree with what the lady said about effigies of people who've been killed or children put on a bonfire, that is disgusting, no matter what side does it. But I am totally and utterly disgusted that she refers to our 1916 freedom fighters as terrorists. The women and men of 1916.
No, Dee, in fairness, I don't think she did. But anyway...
I didn't.
Well, she said the medals that the GA are given to children...
Yeah, but they're
those are not the people commemorated on those medals.
They
get
are,
your facts right before
no,
you...
No, well, in fairness, maybe it's my fault, Dee and Mary, because when I asked you who were they commemorating, then someone either tweeted or told me it was in... Was it one of the hunger strikers is being commemorated, and...
Hughes and McGarrigan, two guys shot dead on a... murder mission.
Oh, they were
I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but I certainly wouldn't agree with saying that those people that fought for our freedom in any way were terrorists. And I do agree with you in relation to the bonfires. It's disgusting on either side. But I don't think the north of Ireland will ever be sorted. Ever, ever. As long as I live, I don't think it'll ever be sorted.
Do you believe that as a number of people have said, that the men of 1960, and the women, that the men who died, and no women members have come to mind, died.
Yes,
lots
and
of women
children, as you know, Joe, you wrote a book about it.
But do you believe, as someone said earlier, that the volunteers, as they were called, who died during the Troubles, and that they were the inheritors or the direct descendants of the 1916 volunteers?
I think some were, and some were. I wouldn't have liked to live in the north of Ireland during the 60s or 70s. And I think as a Catholic, you probably would have joined the IRA, or as a Protestant, you would have joined the UVF. I think people, you know, circumstances made people join up and do drastic things. And a lot of, as I agree with her, there's an awful lot of hate, but I don't think it'll ever be sorted.
No. And what do you think of all the talk at the minute about a United Ireland poll?
Well, I think they should carry it out and see, but I don't know. I think there's too many differences. There's very good people in the north.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Good people on both
and
sides.
And do you have any sense of what way you might vote if there was a poll for a United Ireland?
I think a lot of people would love to see it someday, but I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime. As you said, there's some great people in the SDLP. John Hume was a brilliant man, wonderful man for what he did for Northern Ireland. An absolute wonderful man, and it's only through talk, and it's only through.
But remember, a lot of people will put forward the argument: Gerry Adams, Martin McGuinness, Mary Lou McDonald. They're wonderful people as well, and mates.
Everybody's trying their best.
Would you vote for United Ireland?
I would.
You would, okay.
Yeah.
Even though you're worried that there's too
much. Because we're all Irish at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it is the island of Ireland.
Well, lots of people up the north don't regard themselves as Irish.
That's right, I know.
Joe,
that's right.
I'll say that. Simon Cahill, 51551. Simon's in Kildare. Your point, please, Simon.
Well, my point is that people are saying that the 6 counties and life is back to normal. It is not. It is an abnormal
society.
Okay,
Simon, what's not normal is your phone line. We'll try and get a better one. 51551.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Simon, hopefully that's a better line, 51551. Go ahead, Simon.
Joe, my point is that society in the 6 counties or Northern Ireland, whatever you like to call it, this is not a normal society. And I think a lot of people that ring in from the south or talk about it, they have no knowledge of day-to-day
life. Well, we had a lot of people ringing in from the north as well, but go ahead.
Like, you try and do business in the 6 counties, and I do business in the 6 counties.
Okay.
If I go to a particular town in the north, I have to check out what pub is it safe to drink in.
That is
the reality of life in the 6 counties. And as regards the United Ireland, the concept of a Republican-dominated United Ireland, that's never going to happen. But we should have some long-term plan in the 26 counties to develop a policy. Nothing that has happened before, but that we can encourage people. If we take from Harland and Wolff, why are the government of the 26 counties not now looking and say, right, here's a chance to maybe show a different side of life within a 32-county Ireland?
What do you think they should be doing about Harland and Wolff?
Well, for instance, we are ordering naval ships, and we're ordering from abroad. Why are we not? We did it with bombardment.
Because we're bound, as indeed the British Navy is as well, we're bound by EU rules on tendering, etc.
We did this before.
Geoffrey Donaldson was interviewed about the exact same point the other day, and he said, even though the DUP have an extraordinary power at the minute strategically and numerically in Westminster, he said, EU law does not allow us to give state aid to Harland and Wolff and does not allow us to interfere with tenders.
I'm not talking about giving state aid, but what I'm saying is that we should have some long-term government policy here to highlight the advantages of whatever kind of a 32-county island, whether it's 4 provinces, whether it's part of Europe. But we have to develop this. What we have done here in the 26 counties, we've ignored it for years, and we've paid lip service to it. And I am not a denier of Leo Varadkar, but I will give him credit for one thing. He's standing his ground. And as regards the DUP, their core vote is farming and business. They know that the farming community and the business community are going to be decimated. but they continue to follow their agenda, which is anything that drives a wedge between the six counties and the 26 counties is a good thing from an extreme loyalist point of view.
And you believe that's their motivation?
Without question, it is their motivation. Without question, if you listen to them, and it makes no sense politically, because their base is telling them that there will be a meltdown.
So they want to reaffirm and concretise their Britishness.
Absolutely. And yeah. If you look at over the last 10 years where we were as part of Europe and Britain part of Europe, it was getting more integrated and they were nervous about it.
Okay.
They were nervous about it. And this is a godsend for them.
Okay, Mary, somebody is saying to me on screen through Twitter, actually, can I ask Mary when she moved to Newry? Would that explain something?
28 years ago.
Okay, so that would have been what, in the 1990s?
Yeah.
So the worst days of the Troubles, God, it's a terrible even thing to look at, but the worst days of the Troubles were over. Still awful atrocities.
Well, Oma happened afterwards.
Yes, I know, 98 August, anniversary coming up.
I lived through the bomb scares, I lived through the searches in the shops, the whole lot. And for me, it felt like the worst days of the Troubles were ongoing because I grew up in such a closeted environment, away from anything like that. But I'm not asking or talking about the Troubles. What I'm asking is, how do we move forward?
Okay.
And I just... acknowledge that the heat is there on both sides, because so often the narrative is, oh, the DUP wants to do this, loyalists are doing that. And I'm just saying, please acknowledge that there is blame on both sides and there needs to be a change of attitude on both sides.
Yeah. Philomena Kennedy. Philomena, your point, please.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yes, I've been listening with interest to your show.
Yeah.
And just to give you my background, I'm from Tralee, County Kerry.
Yeah.
I am living in the UK, married to an Englishman. I'm all for peace and harmony. I cherish the peace process. I loved when Martin McGuinness shook hands with the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, when Martin Ferris shook hands with Prince Charles in my own hometown, I thought I would never witness that. It was wonderful. So I'm all for marching on together.
Yeah.
But may I say, we must never forget. And when I hear Mary referring to the people who freed our country as terrorists, it appalls me.
I didn't.
So can I just say...
Please correct that.
May I speak, Mary? You've had a lot of airway today.
You are misquoting me and you are saying that I referred to the people who freed Ireland as terrorists. That is not what I did, and you will not hang that on me.
Philomena, Mary was making a distinction between 1916 and 1969 onwards. 1916.
What is your distinction?
I didn't call the people of the rebellion terrorists. What I did call is the people who set out to maim and murder through the Troubles terrorists. They were terrorists.
You refer to the GAA clubs having medals and having names. What names were they? Were they current or were they past? That's important.
Well, they were past in the sense that they were there.
They were
they're from
past
the,
as part of the 1969 onwards campaign of terror. Not 1916.
Well,
onwards.
The point I want to make today is that as a proud Kerry woman, and I just make this point, Mary, maybe this isn't what you were referring to, but I need to point this out.
Mm.
It's so important that we remember O'Rahilly's Willis in Tralee refers to that wonderful man who did so much, Cahill's Park, Austin's Tax Willis, and Casement's Station. My grandmother stood on the door of our house as Roger Casement was brought to the streets when he was arrested, and we must never forget. But yet we must move on in peace and harmony.
And Philomena, I suppose...
I'm not asking you to forget, and those are not the people that I am talking about, and I wish you would understand. They are of a different time. What I'm talking about is current clubs glorifying people who set out to commit murder.
To clarify it a little bit on your side, Philomena, how would you feel if there was a Martin Ferris playground in Tralee?
How would I feel if it was a Martin Ferris? Well, I mean, to be fair, I think we must. Martin Ferris, worked for what he believed in, and
he was a member. He was a member of the IRA.
Right.
Openly admitted that, didn't he? He imported arms into Ireland, openly admitted that. He was arrested.
Martin Ferris shook the hand of Prince Charles. No, but and that's the main
point I think,
I want to make.
I think this is the sting of Mary's point as well. Do you believe that Martin Ferris should stand in the same pantheon as Padraig Pearse and Roger Casement?
And why does Mary think they should be different?
No, I'm asking you, Philomena. You don't believe that they are different?
I believe in the times we were in, difficult times, we had the oppression in the north, and lots of tragedies occurred on both sides, which I feel very sorry about. And my main message today is we must march on and not forget those who worked to give us what
we
have
today. I'm just trying to work out, to tease the difference between yourself and Mary. And I think the difference is that you would regard, stop me if I'm putting words into your mouth, but you would regard Martin Ferris in this as justifiably standing arm in arm with Padraig Pearse in the same pantheon of Irish patriots. Is that correct?
Well, he fought okay. for those in the north.
Well,
Mary
Lyons does not agree with that. And remember, but Martin Ferris was put in prison by the legitimate courts and states of the Irish people.
And he came off a little bit better than the men of 1916, didn't he, who were executed.
Okay, Mary, do you regard? I'm only saying it because the name was mentioned earlier on. Is that not the sting of your point, that you do not regard the members of the IRA who fought in the Troubles, as it's called, as in the same category as Padraig Pearse or
James Connolly, than I would regard Billy Wright as being a wonderful example for young Protestant rugby players or football players or hockey players. I would not glorify terror on any side. And that is what 1969 onwards was. It was a terror campaign.
Well, I don't know if it's helpful, actually, to be raking over ashes. I mean, my point is, let's move on in together, but remember those who were there when we needed them.
I'm not raking over ashes. This is today. This is current. And what I'm saying is we need to learn a lesson that we stop hatred.
Okay.
And so many of the callers offend.
But I take your point about remembrance, Philomena, but I'm trying to find, is there a conflation between what you're saying and Mary's saying? Is it that we should remember those who were killed, not for the whole thing about blaming and recrimination and retribution?
No.
We should remember all those who were killed because that should remind us how awful violence is.
Absolutely, and I'm a pacifist.
Okay.
I'm a pacifist and I love peace.
I suspect yourself and Mary are on the one platform there, so to speak, in Casement Station, or indeed Martin Ferris Station, or whatever it's called. Mary, thanks indeed for your communication, and I wish you well. I wish your family well, Mary, both in Newry and Tipperary. Same to all our other callers, and apologies to the many callers we could not get to. And thanks, Philomena Kennedy, there laterally. Cara O'Hara was on sound, Laura Lee Davis, the BCO, Lydia Murphy is the producer, and Catherine Thomas is next.